We continue our learning. Le'ilun Ishmas David Be'Menachem Anush and Chaim Yaakov Be'Pidchos Aleo. We're in Ksuvos Perek Aleph Mishnah Zayin. He Omeres Mukas Eitz Ani. Here we have a case where a woman says, "I'm a Mukas Eitz. I was injured by a piece of wood, literally, meaning there was no beer at all, and therefore I deserve a Ksuva of." And this is we're going to learn the Mishnah at least according to one opinion. I deserve a Ksuva of 100. Remember, the Chachamim's opinion is a Mukas Eitz says that a Mukas Eitz deserves a Ksuva of 100, but not 200. So she says, "I'm a mukas eitz, and that's why you notice that I'm not. Looks like I'm not a basula. I don't have basulim. But who am I, Eloki?" He says, "No, eladrusas ishat. I believe that you have been literally trodden by a man. Means you were with another man, and this is a mekachtos before the marriage, and therefore you lose the whole ksuva. You shouldn't. You don't deserve anything." So what do we do? Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, omim ne'emenes. They say she is going to be believed. Now, before we get to understand what it means ne'emenes and why that should be, based on some of the principles we discussed in the previous Mishnah, should be aware that this Mishnah also could be understood like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that a Mukas Eitz gets 200 zuz, doesn't lose anything as a Mukas Eitz for her ksuva, because she's just a Mukas Eitz, just an injury. So because of that, how would we understand the Mishnah? It means that the wife is claiming, "I'm a mukas eitz, and therefore I deserve 200 zuz." The husband says, low-key, what he's saying is, "No, you don't deserve 200, you deserve only 100. So different ways to learn the Mishnah. Whether she's claiming 100, he's saying, "No, maybe you're a drus hasishat, you deserve nothing." Or she's saying, "I deserve 200, he's saying, "No, you deserve only 100. So Rabbi Gamliel Eliezer says she is ne'emenes. Why is that? So there's a migo. What's the migo? What could she have claimed? In the previous Mishnah, we spoke about the fact that she could have claimed amigo in the case of, instead of saying that I was raped or violated after Erisin, I have amigo, I could have said I'm a mukas eitz. But in our Mishnah, that's precisely her claim. She's saying I'm a mukas eitz. So what is it? What kind of amigo does she have? So the difference is, here she's saying, "I became a mukas eitz." It depends on the time. The Migo says the following. She could have claimed, I became a Mukas Eitz after the Erisin. If that's the case, then I certainly deserve 200 zuz, because when you Mekadish me, I wasn't a Mukas Eitz at all. But instead she's saying, I was a Mukas Eitz prior to the Erisin. So that's, if that's the case, so she could have had a Migo that she had, she said Mukas Eitz after Erisin. She didn't say that, so therefore she should be believed. That's the way we understand the Mishnah. Now, it's important to keep in mind. Remember Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir believes that the ksuva is 200 zuz. And that's true whether she was injured before or after Erisin. So there's no migo here. So according to Rabbi, if you learn the Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, why would she be believed by saying mukas eitz ani? She doesn't have a migo. Oh, I could have said mukas eitz after Erisin. There would have been 200 zuz either way. So Rabbi Meir says, you know why she's believed? She has a chazaka. She has a chazaka is that the reason why she doesn't have basulim is not because she was promiscuous, because Jewish women are not promiscuous. So either way, that is, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer says, she is the emenes, we have amigo. Why do we need this Mishnah at all? Don't we have the previous Mishnah? So the Gemara explains the following, that our Mishnah teaches us that let's say she really was a Mukas Eitz, she's going to get 100 zuz. Although, you'll say, hold on, why should she deserve anything? This is according to the Chachamim's opinion, that she's claiming I want 100 zuz. Because after all, the husband didn't know about her, maybe she should have told him. So the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though he didn't know about it, that she was a Mukas Eitz, she didn't tell him, nonetheless she deserved 100 zuz. And the other Mishnah tells us that if she admits that she was raped before Erisin, she will lose the entire ksuba. So, because that's a mekachtos. So that's why we need the two Mishnahs. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer says she's the emenes to say mukas eitz ani, and he, and that's, as we know, a tainas bari, so we have to go back to that as well. That's a taina of certainty. He's saying, low-key, no, maybe not. Maybe you drew sasishat. So therefore, we could believe her as well, because we have bari vish Shema Bari Adif. Now, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Lomi Pia Anu Chayin. Rabbi Yeshua says, "No. Once again, we don't live by her word. We don't trust her necessarily. We have to suspect her. Ela Harezo Becheskas Drusashit Ish. We have to presume that the claim of the husband is correct, that she was with another man and she's not a Mukas Eitz until Atcha David to Raya Dvarel, until she brings proof, and until she does, so the ksuv is going to be either, as we said, nothing, or it's going to be 100 and not 200." Perek Aleph Mishnoches. Ra'uha midaberes im echad bashuk. You have a case where two witnesses see a woman who's unmarried and she is speaking with someone in the shuk. Now speaking, the Gemara says, what are they really doing? So the Gemara assumes they're talking in the shuk, but then they secluded themselves and they had yichud. There was another, that's Zeiri's opinion. Ravasi's opinion is that they actually had, they were intimate one with the other. And the Torah, the Mishnah is just using a nicer language, but really midaberes means that they live one with the other. So the Gemara has a discussion back and forth. We're going to learn the Mishnah assuming that they had yichud one with the other. So Amrula, so the Edim said to her, based in said, Mativo Shalzeh, what's the status of this man you're with? Because had you been intimate with this man, as we saw you were miyached with him. So guess what? If this man is a mamzer or a nusin or someone you're not allowed to live with, so that now you become a zona, you wouldn't be able to live with a kohen. I'd like to know whether we will allow you to marry a kohen after you used to collude yourself with this man. So what does she say? Ish ploni v'kohenu. He is they gave him his name. This is his name. And kohen doesn't mean literally, it means literally kohen, but here it means that he's a kosher person. He has proper lineage. He's not a mamzer. He's not a nussin. Nothing to worry about. That's what she says to these edim. Is she believed or not? Rav Gamliel, Rav Eliezer, Rav Menes. She's believed. She still can marry a kohen. Why is that? We have chazaka. The woman was qualified to marry a kohen at the very beginning. So then that's her presumptive status until we prove otherwise. She says the guy was kosher. We assume that he was, even if she was intimate with him. So we're not worried. Rav Yeshua Omer, Lombi Impia Anu Chayin. Once again, right? We don't live by her word. We have to be concerned. She ruins her chazaka because you're not allowed to have yichud with an unmarried woman. Can't have yichud with another man. So because of that, she violated the issur yichud. She loses her chazaka, and therefore she has to prove her position. Now, interestingly, Tosus says that this is all true. Let's say the woman says, I was intimate with this man, right? But she says, and she admits to that, but she says, don't worry, his lineage is fine. So then we say, okay, so then according to Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, so she is, according to Rabbi Yeshua, rather, obviously, as we said, we don't believe her. But let's say the following. Let's say she says, no, but we didn't have any relations. And she says also, this man is a kosher person. So there are some Rishonim say that would create a sex feka. What's that? Number one, maybe they didn't have relations at all. And even if they did, maybe this person is, it would not disqualify her from marrying a kohen. So that's some Rishonim learn the Mishnah that way. A simple rate of reading of the Mishnah does not assume that we would take into account that sex feka. And the halacha here applies, according to Rabbi Yeshua, Lomi Pia Anu Chayin, applies even where they just had Yichud, and she's claiming that this person is kosher. No, we're not necessarily going to believe her. Rather, what do we assume? Ela harezo becheskas beula lenasen ula mamzer ad shetavi raya ledvarea. Rather, what do we have to assume? We have to assume that she lived with the nasen ula mamzer. We don't know the status of this person. We mentioned the sinim and the mamzerim in Yavamos until ad shetavi raya ledvarea, until she brings a proof. If she doesn't bring proof to with whom she had relations, so then we have to, or who was it she was in this room with, so then we have to assume the worst, and therefore she would not be able to marry a kohen according to Rabbi Yeshua.